Good morning, Before Church. As Pastor Elijah reminded us, we're in a series on a pretty decent prayer from Jesus. But before we get into that, I want to make a little family announcement. I wasn't originally scheduled to preach this morning. Pastor Bo was, but as some of you know, she has parents who are quite elderly. And in the last few days, her mom has taken a pretty serious turn. And so we have said, just be with your mom, be with your family. And so before we get started this morning, I would like you to join with me and let's pray for our pastor and for her family. Jesus, you are the God who does all things well. That includes not only our whole life, but how you eventually receive us back to yourself. We ask in your name right now that the love and the prayers for our pastor that are present here, that are in this room, that are reaching your ears, that you would make them known to Pastor Bo and her family through the presence of your Holy Spirit. Strengthen her family. Give them your peace. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to try that joke again. Turn to the pretty decent prayer in Matthew chapter 6. It didn't, where's Elijah? Elijah, it didn't go as well either time. I just have to accept the fact that I'm not funny. If you were with us last week, or even if you weren't, you heard that as we get into the Lord's Prayer, what we call commonly the Lord's Prayer, he's actually offering this to his disciples in response to something that they ask him. They say, teach us how to pray. And last week, Pastor Bo let us see that initial response that Jesus has is he's saying, well, this is how you're not supposed to pray. Before I tell you how to pray, I'm going to tell you the things that I don't think need to be a part of prayer. And Jesus contrasts prayer as performance versus prayer that actually seeks a response from a loving God, that actually leans into God's love and intimacy. He called out these two classes of folk, hypocrites and pagans, because he said, look, when they pray, what they're really after is some kind of a wage. They want something in return. It's transactional, and they get paid. In the moment, they get paid. But you, my disciples, I want you to seek intimacy with the Father. And before we get into our text for today, I just want to address for a moment why we titled this series the way we did. We're calling it As Above, So Below. And I want to address it because that phrase has sometimes shown up in places that aren't biblical at all. And so I want to be very clear about what we mean when we say that. It is not just a clever tagline. It names something the Bible has always taught, and that is that heaven and earth are not disconnected. They are connected, specifically in the person of Jesus Christ. From the very beginning, it's been God's desire to be with his people, to bring his realm, heaven, right here on earth in our ordinary everyday lives. And when Jesus taught us to pray, he didn't say, help us escape this place. He said, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this tells us something essential. It tells us something really important, that God in heaven sets the agenda. Earth is the place where that gets lived out. And I also want to be clear about what this series is not about. It's not about controlling spiritual outcomes. It's not about manifesting your best life. And it's certainly not about some kind of secret principles that somehow make the universe work for you. The scriptures are very firm on this. We don't move heaven. Heaven transforms us. Do our prayers affect God? Does he care about what we care about? Can we move his heart? Absolutely. But it begins and ends with his sovereignty in heaven. And so when we say as above, so below, we're talking about discipleship. We're talking about the life and the character and the priorities of heaven actually taking shape in ordinary everyday lives like yours and mine. And that's where the words of Jesus will always lead us if we listen. So let's listen. I'd like you to read this with me. We're going to read the entirety of the Lord's Prayer today. We're going to go from Matthew 6 all the way through 9, from verse 9 to verse 13. And it reads this way. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven. You can do this with me. Let's try that again. I found out that there's 5 people listening to me in here. Let's try that again. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This brief prayer has a beautiful structure of 6 petitions, 6 requests. The first 3 point us to God. Our Father, hallowed be, kingdom come, God's will. The next 3 address our common humanity. Jesus prays about bread and forgiveness and temptations. And if you're a note taker, you might want to jot that down, that this prayer is structured 3 things pointing us to God and 3 things that we need. It speaks to our common humanity, because that you're going to see that again and again in this series. I'm only going to deal with that first line, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Because this prayer also has a purpose. Jesus is teaching us to pray. And so the question becomes, how should we engage this prayer? Is it just a simple guide for us, or is it a liturgy to recite, just like we did a moment ago? Well, Matthew says, this is how you should pray. And Luke turns around and says, well, this is what you should pray. So I think when we look at how it's recorded in the Gospels, we can say to ourselves, well, maybe it's for both. Maybe it's something that guides the shape of our private prayers, but we also can recite it together. Because when we do that, when we do what we just did a few minutes ago and say the Lord's Prayer together, it expresses our essential unity in Christ. And that's like gathering for worship or taking community. There are things that we do in the spiritual rhythms of our life that remind us we're part of a family. But sometimes it's not enough to just recite a memorized prayer. A little over a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, I had come in here on a Tuesday night. We have this thing called All Church Prayer on Tuesday nights, and it takes place in this room. It goes from 7 to 8 o'clock every Tuesday evening. You're more than welcome to join us. We really do 2 things. We just say, let's be still and know that God is God. And then we spend our time praying for this church, for its leaders, whether they be staff leaders, Pastor Bo, their families, the ministry of this church. And on this particular night, I wanted to spend some time praying for something. I had a friend. I had someone I knew who was sick and dying, and it was just tearing my heart out. And so I came in here before it started, before everyone else was in here, and I snot prayed. I don't know if you've ever snot prayed, but it is ugly crying combined with very fervent prayer. You do those 2 things together, and it's snot praying. And in that moment, what I needed was not necessarily a prayer to rehearse, an artful liturgy to recite. In that moment, I needed Jesus' prayer to do something powerful and remind me that I had a loving Father who always cares for me, who cared for my sick friend, who cares for the things about us, cares about things like bread and temptation, and sickness and healing. So that's where we're going to begin today, with those first two words, our Father. And they take us deep, right out of the chute, right away, we're going deep. Because throughout the Gospels, Jesus will often reference his Father, but more often than not, like up to 50 times, he says, my Father. The vast majority of times, he says, my Father. And that points us to his uniqueness as Messiah. But our Father points us to something else entirely. And it marks, in this prayer, it marks the only place where Jesus instructs us to address God in this way. And with these two simple words, Jesus does something amazing. He offers us a remarkable invitation. He says to you and he says to me, in prayer, I want you to share the relationship I have with my Father, with his Father. His Abba, his daddy. He wants to share the intimacy, the security, the purpose, the access. Jesus wants us to have all of that. He wants all of that for all of you. And he wants it for anyone, anywhere, who will listen to him and respond to his invitation. Now, as I was imagining what this would be like, I was trying to imagine if I was somebody like Peter or James or John and I was hearing this for the first time, I think it would blow my mind. Because Jesus is taking them way beyond their understanding of a commandment about how to love God. This is a commandment that Moses gave them. It's recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to read it, or I'm going to read it to you. If you have your Bibles open, you can turn there, but it'll be up on the screen. Deuteronomy, starting in verse 5, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And the next thing that God mentions is these commandments that I have given you are to be on your heart. So the ground of that love that he's talking about is a covenantal relationship. He says, I've established a covenant with you. There are rules and regulations. There are responsibilities and rights within that covenant, and I want you to be faithful to that, and that's how you will express your love to me. And so the faithful Israelites, they would have fearfully loved this God who showed up on top of Mount Sinai with such a pyrotechnic display that they didn't even want to be near him. They said, Moses, no, you go on up there. We'll stay here. They might have gratefully loved this God who rescued them out of Egypt from slavery. And maybe the best among them really had sort of a loyal allegiance kind of love for their undefeated warrior king, the one who gave them the law. But the intimacy of God's fatherhood as Jesus framed it, that's a revelation. Jesus is saying he isn't just the Father. He's their Father. He's my Father. He's your Father. He's our Father. And this Father reaches beyond the typical boundaries that separate us. The geographic, cultural, ethnic. He reaches beyond those to embrace his children because he wants to bring them into his family where they will experience heaven. Let's say more about that, because this prayer continues, our Father, the next two words are in heaven. And those are world-shaping words about a person and a place. And this follows a rhythm we see in the scriptures. God always is working through a person and a place, whether it's Abraham in the promised land, whether it's Moses in Egypt, or whether it's Jesus at Golgotha on the cross. And this person-place theme introduces a beautiful tension here where Jesus is praying. Because when Jesus prays that our Father is in heaven, it stretches the idea of who God is. He remains this intimate Father that loves us as a daddy would. But it stretches it all the way to the fact that he is also infinitely the God of heaven and earth. He's not just our loving Father. He's also the uncontested, omnipotent, and holy creator God. And where this God is, heaven is. Dallas Willard puts it this way, commenting on heaven. He says, heaven is the range of God's effective will, where what he wants done is done. We are being called to bring that reality into our world. What does God want done? He wants you to receive his love. He wants you to love him in return, responding to that love. He wants you to love one another. See, if heaven is described as God's presence and the reign of his kingdom, then it can actually, you can actually experience it in your heart, and in your home, in your community, anywhere that the fullest extent of God's goodness finds expression. Anywhere. Because that's heaven's nature. Heaven's nature is to export its goodness. But that doesn't always happen perfectly or well among people. I just want to address the elephant in the room here as we talk about God as our Father, because not all dads export heaven's goodness. Not all of them care well for their children. And the kind of earthly father wounds that they leave can badly damage our view of the words "our Father" in heaven. Last week, I was at a men's gathering. We do a thing on Thursday nights on the second and fourth Thursday of every month. We all get together in the commons, and we share a meal and gather around tables, and we chop up some questions, and then we have a teaching. And last week, Pastor Elijah taught us, and he taught out of Luke chapter 4, where Jesus is reading from Isaiah. And of course, Jesus is talking about his identity and his purpose. So he was kind of challenging us on that, like, what's your identity and your purpose? And one of the guys at my table said the most remarkable thing. He said, I didn't grow up with a dad. My dad left. And then he said this, a little further on, he said this, but I know I'm a father. I know I'm a father. That identity fits me. And I thought to myself, how did this man who didn't have a dad in the home, how did he figure out what it means to be a father? My son-in-law had the same predicament. And I remember him looking at me one time and said, you have a father's heart. And it dawned on me that perhaps these young men saw what it looked like to be a good father in their community. I just want to encourage you, if you're sitting here in this room and you didn't have a good dad, or maybe you don't think you're a good dad, or maybe you're a dad with young kids and you're thinking to yourself, man, I think I'm screwing this up. Can I just say to you that God, your Father, in his infinite goodness, is with you in that. And he has the ability to point people to what fatherhood really looks like. He did it with this young man that was in our men's gathering, and he did it with my son-in-law. Because my friends, before you can name God as your Father in heaven, before you can be healed of the pain of a heavenless childhood, you have to experience this good, good Father, your Father, our Father who is in heaven. And the way you do that is through the Son, Jesus, the perfect image of his Father. When you come to him, he shows you the Father. He says that. In John's gospel. Thomas says, show us the Father. And Jesus says, have I been with you this long and you still don't get it? When you see me, you see the Father. Jesus does something else to reveal the Father. He knits us into beloved community so we could see the Father, our Father, at work in our midst. The dad that I was talking to at the Thursday night just show up, men's events, they see it, and they're shaped by it. You guys want to know what makes my dad's heart really happy? What makes it like the Grinch grow 5 times larger? When my kids take care of one another. When I'm sitting back, and I'm at a family event, or I'm at some kind of a gathering, and my kids are there, and grandkids are there, and they're taking care of one another, I can't tell you what that does for my heart. What joy I have. Now, I want you to use your imagination here because God's given you imagination to engage things that are holy. Imagine the heart of an infinitely loving and good father. What do you think happens when that father sees his children loving and caring for one another? When he sees us carrying the reality of heaven into this world, as Willard says, imagine what could grow in that kind of community. It would be something holy. It would be good and true and beautiful. Or as we like to say around here, it would be hope and healing and freedom and flourishing. At this point in the prayer, Jesus introduces something by asking for something. He says, "Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Jesus here wants us to see the fullness of who God is. And that word hallowed carries a lot of weight here. It means to glorify, to call out the weightiness and the significance of someone or something. But it also points us towards the holiness of that someone or something. It's saying, this thing is sacred. This person is sacred. Jesus is asking our Father in the most reverent way possible, please, please impress the world with your real identity. Make yourself known. Sweep aside the idols. Restore the honor of your name in a world that's far from you. Moses had the same request. He was desperate to see God's glory, absolutely hungry for it. In Exodus 33, there's a long conversation between he and God, and by verse 18, it kind of resolves in a really beautiful way where God's saying, yep, I'll be with you. And then Moses says, things are going good. God's saying yes, so I'm going to ask one more question. Now show me your glory. Verse 18, now show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause all of my goodness to pass in front of you. All of my goodness. Listen to that. Moses asks for glory, and God says, I'm going to show you my glory because it's my goodness. This is a God that knows how to give goodness, that knows how to reveal his glory by giving goodness to his children when they ask for it. And I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. You want to see my glory? I will show you my goodness, and I will proclaim my name. I'm not holding anything back. You're going to get to know my character and my perfections. And then he says something really interesting. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. When God's asked about his glory, he talks about his goodness. He talks about his desire to reveal himself, and then he talks about mercy and compassion. But then there's this strange thing at the very end, but he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Isn't that odd? There is something about me that is so holy, that is so set apart, that is so different from you. Yes, I'm your father, but this is something unique to me. And the weight of it, the full weight of it, you might not even be able to bear. But Jesus is asking us to pray for this same kind of revelation, this same sense that God would reveal himself to us. And when he does that, he's saying to us, God's the one running the universe. He's the one that establishes his good reign on earth through his son. I'll have mercy and compassion on who I will have mercy and compassion on. I'm not beholden to anyone. I'm free. And that reign, that kingdom is full of loving mercy and compassion. Are we invited into the work? Absolutely. We're part of the family. But God is in the driver's seat. We don't nudge him out of the way. It's not Jesus, put your hands on the wheel. It's Jesus, I'm going to stay in the passenger seat. Jesus wants us to be impressed with our Father, not casually, but deeply and reverently. He wants us to feel the weight of God's glory, that love that he has for us, to remind one another of its beauty with the regularity of prayer and meeting weekly in worship and gatherings in our personal devotions. And I think part of the reason Jesus is emphasizing this is he understands the truth of the statement, familiarity breeds contempt. Familiarity, not knowledge, not intimacy, not access. Familiarity breeds contempt. See, I know my wife, Anita, as well as I know anyone, and I love her deeply, but if I treat her with cheap familiarity, I stop seeing her as God's gift to me, and she just becomes wallpaper in my life, something I barely notice. And the same is true of every other one of our relationships, whether it's with a parent, a teacher, a coach, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a spouse. And it can certainly be true of our relationship with God. Every year, probably for the last 6 or 7 years, every year I've gone to God at the end of the year and I've said, would you give me a word for the new year? And I don't know, for the past 4 or 5 years, he's literally, it's been a word like hope or faithfulness. You know, it's just a single word. This year, he had lots of words for me. And as I was praying and I felt like he was speaking to me, he was answering my prayer, I recorded this in my journal. This is what I believed God was saying to me. Honor me before everything and everyone else. Regard no other gods, small g, especially people who might praise you. I think God tucked that in because he knows there's a little bit of people pleasing in me. Always regard me as holy and precious. Never regard common things as holy. Do not confuse the two, common things and holy things. I believe God was saying this to me because there was a little bit of familiarity that was creeping into our relationship. I was forgetting the hallowed be your name part of our Father in heaven. And as we look at the truths, just in that first line of this prayer, I think we have to ask ourselves, how will we respond? How, given what Jesus is offering us, how will we respond? And it's a little tricky because there's no commands in our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. There's not a command there. There's a command in love your neighbor. There's a command in do not forsake the assembling of the saints. There's lots of commands, but there's not one here. Not a single one. There's nothing for us to do except receive and respond. Only God can reveal the beauty and the extent of himself as our Father. Only he can reveal the glory of his name as the Holy One of Israel. So friends, what should we do? What would it mean for us? Think about this for a second. What would it mean for us, for you and me, to recognize, to be impressed with the height and depth and breadth of our good Father's love? How would it change the way we see ourselves? How would it change the way we understand our identity and purpose? And if we truly knew this hallowed God, how might it change our day-to-day life? The way we spend our money and time? How we conduct ourselves in marriage, work, with friends? How would Jesus' revelation of God impact how we care for ourselves? How we offer him our heartache? As the band comes up to lead us in a response song, I just want to charge you. I think when Pastor Bo last weekend said, listen to this response song and just say to God, teach me how to pray, I had a powerful encounter with God. And I think that's some of what God wants to bake into this series, is that when it's appropriate that we would humbly come before him and just receive from him and respond to what he gives us. So I want you to take this time and I want you to ask something very specific of God, straight out of the Bible, just like Moses did. And I want you to say to God, literally say to God, God, show me your glory. You might want to follow that up with something like, reveal yourself to me as my loving Father. Or impress me with the beauty of your holiness. Whatever posture you want to assume is fine. If you want to kneel, if you want to sit in your seat with your head quietly bowed and your eyes closed, that's fine. If you want to stand up and worship, all of that's great. You can do any of it because this is your time with God.
I'm may not understand, but I can hardly stand in your presence. I fall to my knees. The weight of endless glory, it's almost too much for me to bear. What else can compare? In my heart,
that refrain ring in your heart for a second. I love you. Earlier in this message, I talked about the fact that Jesus is making an invitation in and through this prayer. And I also said, the only way you get to know our Father, this good Father, God of heaven, is through the Son, through His Son, Jesus Christ. The Father sent the Son so we could know who God is. And the Son came and He taught us and He performed signs. But one of the most impressive things He did was voluntarily laid down His life for you. He gave His life for you so that you could be healed, you could be forgiven, you could be cleansed. You could come into God's family. As I look out over this room, I see faces, people I know, names and stories. I know you love God. I know you've given God your heart. But I don't know everybody in this room. And so if you're here, and maybe for the first time in your life, or maybe for the right time in your life, somebody is saying to you, won't you come to Jesus? I want to give you an opportunity to do that this morning. I'm going to ask everybody in the room if they would just bow their heads and close their eyes. Let's make this a private space for the people who are doing some private business with God right now. And if you're here and you want to know this God, you want this God to be your Father, and you want to come to Him through Jesus Christ, would you hold your hand up and let me see it? Because I want to pray for you. Yes, I see you there. I see you there. I see you. I see you, you, you. I see you back there. I see you back there. I see you and you back there. In your heart, pray this prayer with me. You can put your hands down. In your heart, pray this prayer with me. God our Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, the one who you sent. I believe you sent him for me to call me back to yourself, to call me away from the things in my life, the pain, the hurt, burdens, the sin. Lord, I put those behind me, turning towards you, turning towards your Son, Jesus. And I say this to you, God, would you receive me as your child? Would you wrap your arms around me? Would you breathe your Spirit into me that I might be a living being, a child of God? In Jesus' name, amen. And I will tell you, on the authority of God's word, if you prayed that prayer this morning, that God answered it. And he has welcomed you into his family. He has put his Spirit in you. And I want you to do one more thing for me, if you will. We're going to have a prayer team up here. Would you come and tell somebody? If you don't feel comfortable coming up here, would you go back to the info center and tell one of our pastors or volunteers there and say, today I gave my life to Jesus. I received him by faith. I'm going to pray for you now and send you on your way. God, may we be a people who are defined first and foremost by the fact that you are our Father. May we desire all of the good things of heaven, not just for ourselves, but so that we might share them with others. And may we never, ever, ever forget that your name is hallowed. Love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Go in his peace and his grace. We'll see you next week.